Okay, good evening, everyone. We are continuing our discussion of the Shemona Esrei. And actually, last week we began the Bracha Vashireinu, but we will start it over. So we're now up to the second of the blessings of the Shemona Esrei. That's the second of the requests. And let's read through it. Hashiveinu avinu l'sayra secha. Bring us back our Father to your Torah. The Karveinu malkinu l'avoda secha. And bring us near our King to your service. And return us in a complete repentance before you. Baruch Ato Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Haretze B'Shuva, who desires repentance. So clearly, the topic of this bracha is repentance. And we're asking Hashem to bring us back. So before we go through the bracha, I want to point out to you something very interesting that some of the commentaries say about this bracha. And that is, number one, as we mentioned previously, every one of the brachas of the Shemona Esrei correspond to an event that took place in which the angels actually said, or at least the ending part of each blessing. So therefore, if our bracha is talking about Shiva, talking about repentance, then that means that this bracha is corresponding to an event of repentance. And that event is referring to the fact that that the Torah tells us that after Rachel died, Reuven took the bed of Yaakov and put it into the tent of Leah. Yaakov had put it into the tent of Bilhah. Reuven felt that was a slight to his mother, and Reuven moved his father's bed into Leah's tent to show that Yaakov should now be spending more of his time with his mother. That was considered a desecration of his father's privacy, of his father's sanctity, and it was considered a very grave sin on his part. And Reuven spent many, many years of his life afterwards repenting for it. When Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the Jewish people before he died, and he came to the tribe of Reuven, he said, Yechi Reuven va'al yamos. Reuven shall live and not die, which means Reuven shall live in this world and not die in the world to come. That means that his tshuva was accepted. And when that tshuva was accepted, the angel said, Baruch Ato Hashem, blessed you are Hashem, Haretze B'Teshuva, who wants repentance. So that is the event, or the historical event, that this bracha corresponds to. Now the commentaries also bring down some interesting things. This is brought down here in the Siddur Eitzarat Tfilis, and it is brought down... That was brought down from the Levush, that first thing about this correspondence to that story. And the next question is, which we'll talk about a little bit more in depth, and that is, why does the bracha of Ashiveinu follow the bracha of Atachonin? Previous bracha was where we ask Hashem for understanding and willage, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Why does tshuva follow that? We'll get back to that. And you say the Siddur Eitzah Tefillah brings down here that when we are asking Hashem Ashiveinu to bring us back, what we are asking Him to do is we're asking Him to tamper down our Yetzer Hara. Our evil inclination within us is always trying to promote the physical in our lives. And always trying to, instead of humbling us, instead of lowering our physical dimension, the Yetzer Hara always tries to give it priority. And therefore, when we ask Hashem, Hashiveinu, help us return, bring us back, these mean to say to tamper down the Yetzer Hara. Tamper down the intensity of the Yetzer Hara who challenges us. Then it brings down that there are 15 words in this bracha. 15 words in the bracha of Hashiveinu. And these 15 words correspond to another 15. What is another 15? So the first 15 that's mentioned is a Kabbalistic concept, and that is that there is a concept that there are Shiva Rikiyim. There are seven skies leading into the heavens. And in between each sky, or each heaven, whatever you want to call it, there is a space. So you've got seven Rikiyim, seven skies, or seven heavens, and you have a space in between. So seven skies and seven spaces is 14. Then you get to you have the highest sky, the highest heaven, And then you have the Kisei HaKavod. Then you have between that, between the space that follows the highest heaven. Then comes Hashem's throne of glory. And so that's a total of 15. And what we're trying to allude to with the 15 words is the fact that when we do tshuva, our tshuva can go all the way up. It goes all the way through all the heavens straight to Hashem's throne. That's how far our teshuva can, that's how far the power of teshuva is. That's how far our teshuva can reach. Another 15 that the Zohar corresponds to is the pasuk that reads, Yazav Rasha Darkai, the Ish Oven Machshavaisav, the Yeshiva Lashem Rachameyu, Bel, I think it's Elokeinu Kiyar Belisloyach. Basically, it is 15 words that talk about teshuva. And the English translation of that verse goes as follows. The wicked man shall leave his path, and the man of iniquity his thoughts, and he shall return to God. And God will have mercy on him, and he will return to our God, for he forgives abundantly. Clearly a pasuk about teshuva, about repentance, and Hashem accepting the person who's doing repentance. So corresponding to the 15 words of this verse are the 15 words of this blessing. One last allusion that we have in this bracha is that the first letter of this bracha is Hey, Hashiveinu, the letter Hey. The last letter of the bracha of the word teshuva is Hey. Numerical value of Hey is 5. Hey in the beginning, Hey at the end equals 15. 10.
Well, you went both.
Is 10. That 10 corresponds to Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the 10 days of repentance, alluding to the fact that the most auspicious time, the most special time for doing tshuva is Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the 10 days of repentance. So these are some of the ramazim, the illusions that we have that involve this blessing. All right. So that's that. Now, let's start going through the bracha itself. So the first question that we have to figure out, the first thing that we have to address is the connection between the preceding bracha of Bina, of wisdom, the bracha, the blessing, the request for wisdom, and teshuva. And the answer that's given is, the reason why teshuva follows the request for wisdom is because in order for a person to truly be able to do teshuva, to repent, a person needs to be given wisdom and understanding. Besides knowing what they're doing, that's number one, they got to know what they're doing, but they also need to be given a certain higher level of understanding so that they can take a look at their lives and figure out what things need to be corrected, things need to be changed. Perhaps we could even add to that not only do you need understanding to be able to do that, you know, you also need to be able, as we will mention again later, you need also to be able to do tshuva. Tshuva, it's not enough just to say, well, I used to do this, now I'm going to do that. You really have to have a whole attitudinal change. Your whole attitude, your whole mindset, the whole way you think has to change. So therefore, again, when we are asking for wisdom, we're asking for the ability to, again, refocus our minds. We should be given the ability to use our discernment to be able to figure out how to now think and see things, therefore, in a whole different way. We could also say that in the bracha before, we first talk about how Hashem and thank Hashem and praise Hashem for giving knowledge and understanding to all mankind. And then there was the bracha v'chaneinu miyitcha, what we ask Hashem to bless us with. We ask Hashem to give us dea bina v'haskal, knowledge, wisdom, and discernment. That, Rav Schwab, we mentioned last week, says, is a special request that we as a Jewish people ask to be given understanding and wisdom when it comes to Torah. That's a unique request for us. And again, the more that a person gains understanding in Torah, the more the person sees his life in a different way. And the more he has the ability to change his attitude to life and truly do tshuva in the proper level. So therefore, based on all these ideas, first we ask Hashem for wisdom, for knowledge, and then we ask him for help in doing tshuva. Now, We start off saying, Hashivenu avinu l'seirasecha, our Father, return us to your Torah. And the commentaries understand that when we talk about Torah here, don't forget, we're going to say, our Father, return us to your Torah, and our King, bring us near to your service. So we have your Torah and your service. We are dividing them into two items. And therefore, the first item when we say, return us our Father to your Torah, means to the study of Torah. Hashem should help us return to the study of Torah. If we haven't been studying Torah properly, the first thing that we ask for is that Hashem help us bring us back to Torah. Help us have the opportunity to study Torah and not have things that disturb us and take us away from Torah study. Help us understand the Torah that we study. Because again, the more Torah that we study, the more we understand what we have to, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and the more our perspective in life takes on a Torah perspective, which again brings us to tshuva, to realizing what we've done wrong and what we have to change. So the first thing that we ask for is we say, Hashiveinu avinu l'seirasecha, our Father, return us to your Torah, return us, bring us back to Torah study. Now, at this point, we refer to Hashem as Avinu, our Father. Our return us our Father to your Torah, and bring us near our King to your service. Now, we didn't explain yet what service means. Service can mean mitzvahs. That mitzvah is called avodah. It's called worship, service, and davening is called service. And the commentaries say that it refers to both. So when we talk about returning to Torah study, refer to Hashem as our Father. When we talk about returning to his service, to the observance of his mitzvahs, we call him our King. And the reason why we talk about Hashem as our Father when it comes to Torah is because we know that when it comes to Torah study, the prime medium for Torah study should be, and the way the Torah lays it out is between Father and Son. That's the way the Torah lays out teaching Torah. If you look in Halacha, the obligation of teaching Torah starts from a father. He's obligated to teach his son Torah. If he can't do it, so he hires somebody else to do it. But again, there is the essential obligation is from father to son. And it's not for no reason that it's that way. It's not just a point of convenience. It has to do with the bond, the relationship between father and son. That loving bond between father and son enhances and enriches the transmission of Torah from one generation to the next generation. So when we ask Hashem to bring us back to Torah, we also refer to him as our Father, because the medium of Torah is meant to be from father to child. It also means that we're calling him our Father because of the fact that, again, Torah is not just an idea. When a father teaches his son Torah, it's not just about educating him with information. It's about giving him guidance for life. And therefore, when we ask Hashem to bring us back to Torah, when we turn to Hashem as a father, as a son to a father, and say, Father, teach us, bring us back to Torah, guide us, bring us back to the guidance of Torah. So again, we refer to him as our Father. Because in the sense of what Torah is transmitted, to guide a child and to guide a person throughout their lives, that guidance is meant to be given from father to son. And therefore, we again turn to Hashem. And when we ask Hashem to bring us back to Torah, we ask Hashem, we refer to Hashem as our Father. When we talk about observance of mitzvahs, when we're talking about obeying the commandments, then we refer to Hashem as our King. That's the relationship. Again, it's a father-child relationship too, but it also has to be seen as a relationship between someone that is an authority over us. And therefore, when it comes to the observance of the mitzvahs, and of course, Torah study is also a mitzvah, but when looking at things from the point of the observance of mitzvahs, that is where we now refer to Hashem as King, because it's a question of obeying laws, and in obeying laws, we refer to Hashem as the King, as the authority over us. So therefore, we started off with Hashiveinu avinu l'seirasecha, return us to your Torah, our Father, and bring us closer to your service, our King. Rabbi Yitzchak Kerzner also points out something very beautiful when it comes to the idea of referring to Hashem as a father when we talk about teshuva. And he explains it that, you know, sometimes a person offers us something. They offer us guidance. They offer us whatever it means that they offer us. And for whatever reason, we're not ready for it. And we tell them we're not interested. We tell him we're not interested. And then, a while later, we realize, boy, that was dumb. We should not have given up that offer when we started. To go back to the person and ask for it again is very embarrassing. It's going to be very hard for a person to go back to the person who offered them something that you rejected and go back and say, you know, I changed my mind. Could I have it back? Could you offer it to me again? It's an embarrassing thing. And that becomes a detriment. But if the person who offered you something was your father, right, and you were still dumb enough to say no, but then you realize that it was a mistake, it's much easier to go back to your father to ask for it again. That's part of the relationship with a father. And therefore, when we say to Hashem, return us to your Torah, we may have had lots of opportunities to study Torah, and we were not smart, and we didn't take up those opportunities. But now when we want the opportunity again to go back to Torah, we can go ahead and turn to Rabbeinu Shlomo and ask for it again, ask for the opportunity again, because he's our father and there's no embarrassment involved. Now, it doesn't mean there's no embarrassment at all, because we know that one of the level that there is an idea of, when we say it all the time. We say it during Slichas all the time. We're embarrassed to approach it. We're embarrassed. We say that all the time. At the same time, if it's still our father, it's still easier to do. And therefore, it is here when we talk about, we say to Rabbeinu Shlomo, we know that you offered us opportunities before to have Torah, and we rejected it. But now we're going to want to come back, knowing that it's our father, it's therefore easier for us to do it, and we don't have to feel the same inhibition if it wasn't our father. And then the next thing we say is, V'karveinu malkeinu l'avodasecha, bring us close to your service, which again we said, could either mean refer to mitzvahs as your service, or it refers to davening prayer. Now, with this, Rabbi Kurzner asks the following question. So just looking at the bracha, we say, Hashem, our Father, return us to your Torah. That means return us to your Torah study. Bring us near to your service means bring us near to davening, to prayer. And bring us near to prayer means, again, you know, all the things that disturb us from davening, or if it's talking about mitzvahs, all the things that disturb us from doing mitzvahs, take that away. Take away those things that block us from being able to do these things properly. Now, if we're talking about, so the question is like this. We ask Hashem, bring us back to your Torah study, and bring us close to your service. So what are we asking for exactly when we say to Hashem, and return us with complete tshuva? If you brought us back to your Torah, you bring us close to your mitzvahs, isn't that tshuva? Isn't that repentance already? Yeah. What exactly are we asking for when you say to the Rabbeinu Shalalem and return us with a complete tshuva to you? It would seem that we covered all our bases when we say, bring us back to Torah study, bring us back to your service. What more are we asking for? And if we are asking for something more, then why do we specifically point out, why do we specifically talk about Torah and tefillah before tshuva? Why do we do that? So he explains in the following way, with a very deep explanation of the power of Torah and mitzvahs. The Gemara in Saita basically says that if you do an Aveira can somehow or another, the wording of the Gemara is that a sin can extinguish a mitzvah, but it cannot extinguish the merit of Torah study. Okay? A mitzvah can extinguish, I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but the idea is Torah can extinguish a mitzvah, I'm sorry, a sin can extinguish a mitzvah, but it cannot extinguish Torah study. Now, what does this mean, extinguish? What do we have a concept that if I had 10 mitzvahs and then I have 10 sins, the 10 sins extinguish the 10 mitzvahs, that's how it works? What's the explanation of this whole idea? So he explains the whole idea as following, that of course, it doesn't work that if I did 10 Averis will knock off mitzvahs. Averis don't knock off mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. It's two separate accounts, so to speak. I have my mitzvah as my Averis. It's scale. Right. But what exactly does the Avera do? How does it negatively affect my mitzvah? So if I understand him correctly, it affects the mitzvah from two angles. One angle is that every mitzvah gives off what Rabbi Kurzner calls a spiritual energy. And that spiritual energy, number one, is a form of reward or or a fringe benefit, depending on where the reward is being given to you, whether it's in this world, whether it's in the next world. And when we go ahead and we do an Aveira becomes a wall. And it blocks us from being able to get to reap the benefit of the mitzvah. That's what it means. It extinguishes the mitzvah. It doesn't extinguish it. It doesn't put it out. But basically, the effects of the mitzvah become blocked by the sins that we did. The sins that we did basically put up a kind of a spiritual blockade, a wall, call it an impurity, whatever word you want to use, that hinders our ability to receive the benefits from the mitzvah. That could refer to the reward for a mitzvah. And in a deeper sense, after 120 years, right, we have to get cleansed because we have to remove that blockade. We have to remove that shell, so to speak, so that we can get the reward of our mitzvahs in the afterlife. It could also do that to the fringe benefits we get from mitzvahs in this world. But then there's another angle, another dimension. And that is that spiritual energy that is given off from a mitzvah brings us closer to Hashem. It creates a closer connection with Hashem. We experience Hashem's presence more. We become more committed to Him. We become more committed. We become more aware. By a mitzvah is always basically elevating us. It's always making us more spiritual. It's making us closer to Hashem. It makes us feel and experience Hashem in our lives more and more. The aveira, the sin that a person can do, it blocks us from that. It actually maybe takes us a step back. When the mitzvah takes us a step forward, an aveira will take us a step back. It will again hinder our ability, the closeness that we may have gained. It's not like we're losing it on the mitzvah, right? The mitzvah is still on our record, and eventually that mitzvah will be accounted for. But when we talk about a certain benefit from a mitzvah, which is the closeness that we get to Hashem from a mitzvah, the closer connection we feel in our lives with Hashem from a mitzvah, an aveira takes us a step back from it. Takes a step away. It makes us further away. So that's what it means that an aveira can extinguish a mitzvah. It basically blocks, it basically takes away the benefit that the mitzvah gives us. But there's one thing that an aveira cannot affect. There's one thing an aveira does not have the ability to extinguish its energy. It doesn't have the ability to stop the closeness that we have. And that is Torah study. Torah study is so important. Torah study is such a strong connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom that at the end of the day, your aveira, even if you've done a sin, you still stay connected strongly to Torah study, the sin cannot extinguish the merit of the Torah study. The connection and the closeness that we gain from true Torah study will not be affected if we slip up and we do an aveira, at whatever level, it's not going to break that connection that Torah gives us. I'm not going to say it won't disturb us in some way. You could disturb it, but it does not affect that connection. And therefore, when we stay connected to Torah, that's our greatest ability to be able to do tshuva. And there's actually the Medrash actually says that Hashem says, you know, if by the first Beis HaMikdash, if the Jewish people would have worshipped idols, committed immorality, committed murder, but they would have studied Torah properly, then the light of the Torah would have brought them back. There's hope, because there's always that connection. The connection of Torah study is never broken. So if you have a true connection of Torah study, and at the same time there's other problems going on, right? There are other issues going on, but eventually the connection of Torah, which gives us that connection to Hashem, that's an unbreakable connection, that would help us come back. And therefore, the first thing we say to the Rebbeinu Shalom is, return us to your Torah. Bring us back to your Torah study. Help us connect to you with our Torah study. Help us take away any of the disturbances, any of the obstacles, any of the time you try to open up a sefer, and all of a sudden this comes up and that comes up, and you think about this and you think about that, and because of that you don't study. All the things that disturb us, Hashiveinu, return us. Help all those things go away. Take away those obstacles. Take away those disturbances. Give us the inner energy, the inner strength to overcome them. But the first thing is return us to Torah. Give us, help us have that close connection to you. That connection that cannot be affected by anything else. That no avera can ever affect that connection. That's the first thing we ask for. The next thing we ask for is bring us close to your service. We said that means davening. Why? What? Davening also plays a very special place in one's ability to do tshuva. You know, Torah is the connection. Tefillah, prayer, enhances that connection in a way that nothing else can. Because what does davening do for us at the end of the day? What does davening do for us, as we spoke about in the beginning of when we started this class? Davening gives us a relationship to Hashem. The goal of davening is not to get out of Hashem what we ask for, right? It's not, davening is not meant to be a ATM machine that you punch in the numbers and you take the money out. That's not what davening is. Davening is where we gain recognition that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is here, he exists, and he runs the world. That is what davening is meant to do. If you're going to do tshuva, the most important thing is to realize that, number one, God exists, he's here, and that he runs the world, and that everything is his. And therefore, you start with the Torah's connection is that bond that's unbreakable. The fact that we daven enhances that bond by reminding us that Hashem is here and Hashem is everything in our life. And when we have those two things, then we can return. Then we can fix up what we're trying to fix up. In that sense, according to this approach, the first two things are not so much, of course, there's tshuva involved in those two things. But those are the prerequisites to bring us to a complete tshuva, to a tshuva that encompasses everything in our life, to rectify everything that needs to be fixed. But the two things that have to precede in order for that to happen are, number one, Torah study, and number two, davening. When we have those two things, and we're able to actually really hold on to those two things, then Hachzireinu v'Teshuva Shleima, then we can have a complete repentance. Then with these two things, we'll be able, with the connection to Hashem, and with the connection that Torah gives us to Hashem, and with the recognition of Hashem in our lives, then we can actually return to it. Then we can actually do tshuva. Then we can actually fix up everything that needs to be fixed up. And it'll be a tshuva lefanecha, a tshuva before you, a tshuva that you could testify, as the Rambam says, that this is complete, that this person has come to a point that he's not going to go back to what he did before, what was wrong. Now, the next part sure.
About tshuva. How can we ask for tshuva? Tshuva depends from us. Hashem will accept it or not accept it.
No, so what it means is like this.
Yeah, but
what it means is,
mean?
Right, so what it means is that you're bringing up a very good point. Tshuva has to start from within.
Yes.
But the ability to carry it through is an energy and strength that God gives you. Because sometimes you want it, because truthfully, after sinning, sometimes you really don't have the strength to be able to come back. But when you make the decision and you make the first step, Hashem helps you the rest of the way to get to that.
Uh-huh.
You want to correct something. In essence, we need Hashem to give us the full strength to get there. We got to start, but the rest of it has to come from him. The rest of it, we need him.
Okay.
So once you mention this, I'm going to mention to you a very nice parable that Reb Schwab brings down here in his discussion of this brach of tshuva. So he says, imagine the following situation. A son calls up his father and he says, Dad, you know, he hasn't spoken to his father for a while because his father had given him a nice amount of money and he ran away with it. You know, he kind of, let me take it around, right? A son did a rotten thing. He stole money from his father. He embezzled a huge amount of money from his father. Understandably, by doing so, he didn't have much to do with his father. One day he calls up on the phone. He's crying to his father. He says, Dad, I'm so sorry for what I did, and I want to come back. I want to come home. So his father says, sure, you can come home. We'd love for you to come home. And the son says, there's just one thing. You know, all that money I stole, I blew it. Can you send me a ticket so I can come home?
Mm-hmm.
It starts from you, right? You make the phone call. The son makes the phone call. But then the son has to admit, I really can't get home. I want to come home. I'm ready to come home, but I can't make it. That's the same thing. We start off with saying to Rabbeinu Shalaylam, we want to come back. And we make the first strides, and we make the first steps. But after that, we say, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, you got to help us with the rest. You got to help us the rest of the way. Okay. Next thing that Rav Kurzer points out, and again, this is brought down in the commentaries also in the Eitzer HaTefillah Siddur, is the following. And that is that when we are davening to Hashem, and we're basically asking like this. We say, return us to Torah, bring us to your service, and return us with a complete repentance. Now, we know repentance is something that has to take place in one's heart, that you have to regret. It takes place in your mind. You have to have a change of attitude. So the three things that we ask for correspond to the three dimensions of our lives. We have in our life, we have action, and we have thought. No, we have action, speech, and thought. Mm-hmm. Right?
Isn't thought first?
Yeah.
Whatever. Action. Doesn't make a difference. For this, it doesn't make a difference.
Just
doesn't make a difference. And that, well, not necessarily. We'll see what you could say. You could actually look at it differently. But there are three things that we have, right? We have. One second. Right. Thought, speech, and action.
Thought first.
Okay. Thought, speech, and action. Okay, but one second. Now we have those three things, and the three things that we daven for are met. We talk about Torah, service, and tshuva are supposed to correspond to those three things. Okay, what corresponds to which? So we say like this. We ask Hashem, return us to Torah. Torah is speech. Torah is speech. Okay. Next, we ask Hashem to help us with actions. If we say, Lavodasecha refers to mitzvahs, that's actions. And then when we say, Hachzireinu b'teshuva shleima lefanecha, return us in a complete tshuva, that means thought. Because tshuva has to encompass every dimension of our existence. It's got to influence our actions, right? We've got to change the way we act. We've got to change the way we speak. We've got to change the way we think. Because if you think the old way and say, you know, I'll still fantasize and think about what I used to do and yearn for it, but I won't do it. But I won't do it. I won't do it. And I won't speak Lashon Hara either, right? I won't do it. Outwardly, I'll do what I have to do. Inside, not so sure. I'm not there. That is not going to be a lasting tshuva. You have to have a change of thought. You have to have a change of attitude. You have to have a change of way you look at life. Thinking is what really is what we are. Thinking is what we are. And maybe their actions affect the way we think, but thinking is what we are. So at the end of the day, our tshuva has to encompass all three dimensions of our being. It has to follow action, has to follow speech and thought. In the bracha, it doesn't follow the order of speech, of thought, speech, and action. In the bracha, the way the Mefarshim say, it's going speech, action, thought. But it encompasses all three things. Okay. Now, this is something that we may have mentioned, that I believe that we did mention last week, but I think it's worth repeating from Rav Schwab. And that is that Rav Schwab focuses on the fact that when we ask Hashem to bring us back to Torah, and to bring us back to avodah, to service, we say, Hashem, return us to your Torah. Mm-hmm. And Hashem, return us to your service. The reason why we're stressing your Torah and your service is because of the fact that it is very important, again, for a person to do tshuva, for a person to be able to set their lives on the right path. They have to realize it's not just enough to study Torah. You have to study Torah realizing it, that it's Hashem's Torah. I'm not studying Torah because it's not another form of wisdom. It's not just another interesting intellectual exercise. It is Hashem's Torah. That is why we study it. We study it because it's Hashem's Torah. And when we do mitzvahs, we don't do mitzvahs just because my father did it, my grandfather did it, everybody does it. No, that's not what it's about. It's about the fact that you recognize that Hashem wants you to serve Him. And therefore, the stress has to be, that. Therefore, the Hashivenu, part of the Hashivenu that we say to Hashem, bring us back to your Torah, is return us to your Torah. We have to be brought back to the idea that it's your Torah. And we have to be brought back to the idea that when we're serving you and doing mitzvahs, we're doing your mitzvahs. And Rav Schwab brings this out in a very interesting way when he talks about mitzvahs. He says, for instance, you know, you find someone who needs help. They need chesed, they need kindness, right? They need a meal, they need money, they need clothing. You find this person, they're desperate, and you're able to go ahead and take care of their needs. You give them clothing, you give them food, you give them money. You're really helping them out. And you really feel good about it. You really feel good about it, which you should. At the end of the day, even when it comes to doing a chesed, doing a kindness, and even though kindness should be done with feeling, at the end of the day, why are you doing it?
Because Hashem wants
you to do it. That's the basis. The basis is not, oh, how else could I do it? How could I not do it? It's the humane thing to do. And that's the demand. That's the basis. No, the basis is because the Rabbeinu Shalom said to do it. Now, that doesn't mean that when you do a chesed for a person, do it like a robot. Like, you know, I am doing this because it is a mitzvah, right? You know, a lot of people do it that way because otherwise they wouldn't do it. But that's not the way to do it. You should be helping someone because you want to help, because you feel. But that's not the basis of why you're doing it. The real basis why you're doing it is because Hashem said, gave you, there's a mitzvah. And the mitzvah should be done in a way that you feel for the person. And that's what it means. That would be included in when we say to Rabbeinu Shalom, bring us close to your service. It means that you help us understand and not forget, not just to become rote, not just to get caught up in everything that we do day in and day out over and over again and forget that and forget why we're doing it. But rather help us help us remain cognizant of the fact that we're studying your Torah and that we are doing your service. And we ask Hashem to bring us back, but tshuva shalema, what a complete repentance. Okay? What is a complete repentance mean? What is repentance? What is complete repentance?
I don't understand what you're doing.
So he explains it in the following way: that a person we know can repent for different reasons. You can repent because of the fact that you don't want Hashem to punish you. You want to repent because you want to make sure that you don't have to have a negative effects on your sins, whether it be in this world or in the next world. That could be a motivation for you to repent. And that is a form of repentance that's accepted. Hashem accepts that repentance. But when we ask Hashem to bring us back and help us do tshuva, we're asking for teshuva shalema. We're asking for complete repentance. Complete repentance means a repentance that, you know why we repent? Because Hashem said, come back. Because Hashem said, come back. That is why, that's the tshuva we should reach. A tshuva, that we're doing the tshuva because Hashem says, when you do something wrong, I want you to come back. It's a mitzvah to come back, according to many mefarshim. It's a mitzvah to do tshuva. But the point is, do I do tshuva because of the fact that I want to protect myself? Or do I do tshuva because I want to go back to Hashem? Hashem wants me back and I want to go back to Hashem. That is what we're asking for when we ask for teshuva shalema, for complete repentance. Another aspect, Rav Schwab says, of a complete repentance is the idea is that, again, there are many different levels of repentance. So, for instance, you know, if a person does repentance, you know, there's a concept. Hashem accepts repentance, you know, at any stage in life. At any stage in life. A person can be chas v'shalom, their last minutes left in life, and they do tshuva, Hashem accepts it. There's a certain level of tshuva, a certain level of repentance that can be done at any point of time. Understandably, the more you can do something wrong, and the more you repent for that thing that you did wrong, and you're at a stage where you could keep doing it, and then you don't do it, it's clearly a much stronger tshuva than when it's not really that relevant, you're just saying to Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm sorry. And therefore, teshuva shalema, we're asking for Hashem, return us for teshuva shalema, means give us the ability to do tshuva, help us do tshuva complete, at a stage, at a point where our tshuva will be whole, it'll be complete. It'll be a tshuva where we actually refrain and hold back from doing something that we're still tempted to do.